The beginning of a new year often brings us times of reflection, times of goal setting or making new resolutions. Pastor Tim challenges us to examine ourselves, our motives, and even the opportunities that God has for the coming year. God bless you. Thanks for joining us.
Well, when starting a new year, it's usually is in light of the year before. You know, when we begin to think about this year, it's usually in the light of what happened the previous year. We hear things like, I'm glad 2019 is over. Or, what a great year 2019 was. You know, it's kind of what your perspective is. You know, and then you want it to continue the way it was. Sometimes we were filled with anxiety because the past year was so bad. So bad. Or we are filled with happiness because it was so good. Different ranges of emotions goes on. Many things can make a year good or bad. It could be a loss of a loved one or financial issues or a family that's been split up or feuding with one another, loss of a job or loss of a dear friend because of some type of a schism. I like to use the word schism, has gone in through the relationship. Or it could be things like, I got a job, I got married, some of y'all, Donald, Haley. We got a bunch of weddings coming up. We got a whole bunch of weddings coming up. Lord help us. Here we go again. You know, we had some weddings a few years ago. Now we got 5,000 little babies running around. My dad used to always say, if you can't win them, just raise them. And I think we did, you know, last year and so. But the list can go on and on and on. You know, why 2019 was good or it's bad. But here's the issue, maybe. I want you to challenge my heart when the Lord spoke this into my spirit. But I very seldom hear anything about spiritual matters. I very seldom hear, did I grow? Did I mature in the Lord? Did you really pick up a towel and really begin to serve? Did you donate? Did you pay your tithes? Did you really invest yourself within the ministry? Did you really invest yourself in what God had called you to do? You know, a lot of times we say, I'm waiting for the Lord to call me to do something. And the Lord says, I have placed you somewhere. Get busy now. And all instead of always waiting. Or was your life just filled with, And the staff would laugh at that when I go, When I really don't like something, I go, Or was it filled with sin? Did you allow things into your home that you knew that was not right? All this is very convicting, even in my own life. Did you really mature in the Lord? Did you? Our theme last year was a Christian maturity, and we harped on it every week. Are we growing in the Lord? Are we moving with the Lord? Is the Lord doing something? Are we really investing our hearts and our life in Him and what He has called us to be? Those are the questions that I can answer for myself that you can answer for yourselves. Did I grow in the Lord? I started 2019 here, and I finished up here. Or did I start here and finished up here? It's amazing how that happens sometimes, that we start here and we finish up here. It's great. Or we finish up way back here somewhere. Only you can answer these other things in your life today. You know, I want to be a part of a church where we challenge one another, where we lift each other up, where we are truthful with one another, that you can help guide me and I can help guide you. That is my hope and that is my prayer. And next week, I hope you come. It will be a theme for the whole year, and we will be revealing that. And it's my heart, it's my passion. The Lord always begins to give me something around August and September. But it's burning within my heart and my soul because I want us to continue to move. I want us to continue to win the loss. I want us to continue to speak truth. You know, sometimes speaking the truth is not the other popular thing to do. But I praise God that we speak truth, but we speak it with a towel in our hand. And that's my prayer and that is my hope. I want you to turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 11. I believe it's going to be on the screen. 1 Samuel chapter 11, a lot of scripture to read today, and I used to say when my speech impediment was really bad, we might be here a couple hours just to get through it. I want you to stand with me. 2 Samuel, my friend from the north taking care of me. I didn't call her Yankee, yeah, I just did, didn't I? Thank you, Marion. 2 Samuel. Sorry about that. 11:26. And when the wife of Uriah heard that her husband was dead, she made lamentation for him. And when the mourning was over, David sent and brought her to the house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. And the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, there were two men in a certain city. Now listen to this. The one rich and the other poor. The rich man had very many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing but one little lamb, which he had bought. He brought it up, and it grew up with him and with his children. It used to eat of his meager fare and drink from his cup, and he lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. Now there came a traveler to the rich man, and he was loath to take one of his own flock or herd to prepare it for the wayfarer who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb, and he prepared that for the guests who had come to him. And then David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. He said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die. He shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no other pity. And Nathan said to David, you are the man. What an indictment. You are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I rescued you from the hand of Saul. I gave you the master's house and your master's wives into your bosom, and gave you the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have added as much more. Interesting. Why have you despised the word of the Lord to do what is evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah, the Hittite with the sword, and have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, for you have despised me, and you have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. And thus says the Lord, I will raise up trouble against you from within your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this very son. For you did it secretly. But I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And to listen to David's response to all of this. And David said to him, to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan said to David, now the Lord has put away your sin. Isn't that just that redemptive sentence there? The Lord has put away your sin. You shall not die. But nevertheless, though, because by this deed you have scorned the Lord, the child that is born to you shall die. Then Nathan went to his house. It's a tough scripture today, isn't it? You can be seated. Tough scripture today. Here's the background of the story. You kind of heard a little bit. David, in the spring, should have been out with his army fighting. But he decided to stay home. And as he stayed home, as being the king, whatever kings do when they stay home, I don't know. But he finds himself up on in his house, and he can look across the kingdom. And he looked, and he saw a rooftop way over, and he saw a woman taking a bath on the rooftop. The temptation was so strong that he sent his servants. He said, go get her. Now, just remember, David remained. That's the first fault. He should have been where he was supposed to be. But he remained, and temptation was so great. And he come in and had a sex with a lady, and she was pregnant with a child. And there was a big cover-up. He said, now how am I going to fix all this? So her husband, Bathsheba's husband, was a big man in the he was fighting the war, and he was over all the troops and stuff. He said, well, how I can cover this up? He invited him back, but he was such a man of honor that, you know, David said, you can go into your wife. He says, no, I will not do that while my soldiers are fighting on the field. And he stayed outside next to the door. So in the midst of that, David's trying to figure out, how am I going to fix this? See, when sin begins, it begins to take. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. And we begin to try to figure out how we can continue to cover up what has happened. So the next thing he did, he says, well, I'm going to send him to the front of the line. Now listen to this. This is devious. This is a man after God's own heart, as it says in one place. This is very devious thinking. He said, I'm going to send him to the front of the line. And he sends Bathsheba's husband Uriah to the front of the line. Guess what happens? He gets killed. David thinks it's over. He thinks, I got away with it, whatever his thoughts were. But when sexual sin is, it is so filled with evil, and the consequences are so great. The consequences are very, very great. But God calls the prophet Nathan. We find Nathan in chapter 7. He's the one that comes to David and says, guess what? You're going to be anointed king. Yeah, good news that he has. You're going to be anointed king. And so here he comes again. He goes to David. He tells him a parable. He says there's a poor man and a rich man. A poor man has a little lamb that he went and bought, and he raised him, and he loved this lamb, that this lamb began to be part of the family. Can't imagine that, but that is true. Became part of the family, and this rich man had a lot of lambs. And so this rich man had a traveler to come by, someone to visit him, and says, well, this man wants a lamb, and I don't want to take any of my lambs. So therefore, I'm going to take this poor man's lamb over here. I'm going to take him, and I'm going to give him to my other traveler. And Nathan is saying this to King David. And King David is, I want you to imagine with me a little bit, just the look on King David's heart and mind when Nathan is telling him this story. He's taking it all in and saying, and he's getting, you know, at the end, you can tell David's response is he gets mad. He gets angry in his spirit. He's like, man, this story is not good. This story, how in the world can this rich man just take this one poor man's lamb? And Nathan says the words, you are the man. Wow, some powerful words. Powerful words. And I think it's words that maybe that we have all heard once in our life. Because we have. Because when we were lost and undone, conviction comes on. It's basically the Lord says, you are the man, you're the woman that has sinned against me. And at that moment, King David realized what he had done. What he had done. You are the man. Many times we try to cover our sin. Many times we try to talk about others and their sin or how bad the world is just to cover up what's going on inside of us. A lot of times we want to talk about someone else or just talk about what's going on in someone else's life. When in truth, there's issues in our own life, if they were exposed, we would be very disturbed. Are you saying, Tim, that as we as Christian people, we just sin all the time? No, I'm not saying that at all. I believe, as when the song says, that we can lord over sin. Paul made it clear. Jesus made it clear that we can lord over sin. But there's times in our lives that we make decisions, whatever case it is, here is King David. And then Nathan reminds David. It's interesting. Then Nathan reminds David who he was, who he is called to be. That Nathan is like, you're called to be the king of all Israel, the most powerful person in the world at the time. People were afraid of Israel, afraid of King David. Said, I rescued you, and I give this family to you, and the head of Saul, the one that wanted to kill you, and I rescued you. I gave you the master's house and everything in it. And in the scripture you heard, I would have even given you more if you had just asked. That part I had never really concentrated on until I really began to study this. I would have even given you more if you just asked. I think of David, and one of my favorite stories in the Bible is when Samuel came. I think I said Nathan anointed him king, but Samuel did. He came to the house of Jesse, went through all his sons. Nope, that's not him. Hey, but he's strong. That's not him. He's this. He's not that. Doesn't hear he's pretty. Yeah, that's not him. Doesn't hear he can run a football. My goodness, that's not him. Doesn't not hear he's a great hunter, which would be me. That's not him. I'm kidding. No, I'm not. No, I am kidding. Just move on, right? If Heidi was here, she would tell me, Tim, hush and move on. Sons came by. It's a great story. Beautiful story. He said, is this all your sons? And the father, unbelievably, says, no. I got one little boy out there. He's in the pasture with the sheep. Santa says, let me see. And he meekly, I anoint you king. Nathan reminds him of who he is. See, when sin comes into a believer's life, we lose our identity on who we are in Jesus. We lose our identity. King David, man, gracious. He could have anything that he desired. Even God said, I would even given you more. But it's amazing. Sin always takes and never gives. Sin always takes and never gives. What Nathan has done as the prophet going up into the king and speaking truth, that was a dangerous thing for him to do. Because the king could have said in one word, take Nathan out and kill him. And he could have. It was a dangerous thing to speak truth. And I'm here today. And once again, I'll say it like I've said it for years. And I even said it when the dad passed away. In that sermon at his funeral, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. And in other words, we got to come to the place that we deal with our sin, that we deal with things in our life. Sometimes they're not. We call them mistakes. We call them, I made a mistake. I hear this all the time in social media. I hear it in the secular world. I just made a mistake. No, it's called sin. It's just called sin. That's what it's called. And until we come to the place that we can realize that it is sin, as David did, there's nothing that God can really do for us. You may say, Tim, I'm in something I can't get out of. It's time for confession. And the Lord's going to help you. He's going to be there. He's going to help you through it. But deep conviction fell on David. Sin is about taking. The powerful king thought he could do anything. It's a power play. See, sin is power. Sin is a power play. Sin is something that happens with us that we want to take something that is not ours. If you put a sin on it, I'll tell you something about taking. Do not steal. You're taking something. Do not envy. You're trying to take something. You're trying to take something. Honor your father and mother. You're trying to take their authority away. Sin is about taking. And everything, every sin you can go down the line, it's about taking. Have no other gods before them. I'm going to take that authority away. I'm going to put it on me. Sin is about taking something that's not yours. And in the midst of all that, when we have sin in our life, it destroys. It kills. The wages of sin is death. Deep conviction fell on David. It's a power play. And for us, we do the exact same things. You might be fortunate enough to live a pretty comfortable life. I don't say blessed enough, because remember, blessing is not equate with material things. Remember, we talked about this. I'm going to say it again. We say, the Lord has blessed me with a new house. No, you're fortunate enough that you made some really pretty good decisions, and you're fortunate enough to have a job where you can afford this house. Blessing is only equated to God's presence. We are blessed because God's presence is within us. So we are blessed. But you might be fortunate enough to have everything's going your way. But in the midst of all that, maybe you have left what God has called you to be. I've been there. I graduated at Trevecca in 1994. I don't say this to penny roses on me. I won the highest award that a graduate could win at Trevecca. Top of the class. Not in not in mind, but just a citizenship award. Y'all knew that. It wasn't because of my mind. Church of Nazarene, I said, I'm going to get a church that fast. Even though the president and I were really great friends, even I preached a sermon in chapel, he even sent it out to the whole southeast region. There you go, you know, working it, you know. I graduate. I move home. Not one call. Not one district superintendent, but a Marsh even called me. A lot of them in the region knew who I was. Not one call. And the Lord brought me home. He looked at me and said, you have sinned in my sight because you have lost your identity on who you are. It's time to repent. And I've told this story a bunch of times, but Mr. Williams, bless his heart, he's laying on his deathbed now, had a pond, and I would go and get in the boat and go and paddle in the middle of the pond and just sit in the middle of the pond. I'm glad it was out there in the country where nobody could see it because they probably go, look at that fool. He just sit in the middle of the pond not doing anything. It was some of the most beautiful time I ever had with the Lord of restoring and redeeming the things that I have, that I really not lost, but I threw away. And that identity began to rise up into me on who I was. And the Lord spoke these words. He says, I can make you and I can break you. I said, yes, Lord. By the end of the summer, a good old pastor from Texas called me. Said, I hear you want to be a youth minister. I said, not really. Youth ministry had never crossed my mind. But it's amazing how the Lord just wants to punish you. I mean, just punish you sorry teens. And I didn't say that, of course. He said, why don't you come be my youth pastor? I called up to Rebecca, and none of the professors were there, but the secretary, Miss Sherry, she just retired this year, said, by the way, there's a guy down in Georgia you ought to call. Because none of the professors had even would have ever recommend me for youth ministry, because they knew I went into pastoral ministry somehow. So he called me. It's amazing how the Lord works. I hung up the phone, and I said, I'm moving to Texas. What happened? And Nathan stood in front of me. Holy Spirit convicted my heart and said, you are the man. And he restored. See, even as Christians, we can lose our way. David lost his way. He allowed things in his life. I talk about sin, about taking things.